You are Locked On Magic, your daily podcast on the Orlando Magic, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And you are indeed Locked On Magic. Today is September 13th, 2018. My name is Phil Prossenreich. I'm the expert and site editor over at OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can, of course, follow me on Twitter at PhilipRR_OMD. On today's episode, we'll have the second half of my conversation with Stephen Cameron of Close Up Magic. We'll talk about Mohamed Bamba and Jonathan Isaac and what to expect from them this coming season as we continue our look at some of the young players on the Magic's rosters. On yesterday's episode, we talked about Melvin Frazier and Wes Iwundu in a lot of detail, probably more detail than you'll hear anywhere else about those two players. So definitely go back into the archives and check that out. You can download old episodes of Locked On Magic on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and all the fun places you download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. Before we dive into this episode, I want to remind you that you can check out the other great podcasts on the Locked On Podcast Network, too. I know I'm getting set with my fantasy football team this week. Had a tough week one. Left a guy on the bench I shouldn't have left on the bench. Caused me to lose the game. Had some guys underperform, but I'm really excited about week two. And so I'm getting set with Locked On Fantasy Football experts as well as Locked On Fantasy Football 24/7. And on top of that, I'm getting ready for the Jaguars-Patriots game by listening to Locked On Jaguars. There's a Locked On NFL podcast for almost every NFL team, just like there's a Locked On NBA podcast for every NBA team. There's also Locked On MLB podcast and a growing number of Locked On College podcasts, including Locked On Seminoles. I hear you moaning in the back there in Tallahassee. It's been a fun year with Willie Taggart, hasn't it? I guess not. You can check out all those great podcasts by subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, iTunes for sure, and check out your other podcast providers for more from them.
But all right, let's get to guys that do kind of have that star gaze in your eye with our last two first-round picks in Jonathan Isaac and Mo Bamba. I am very excited about this, and this is honestly my personal guy that I am most excited about this upcoming season, even more so than who we drafted this year and who I personally think has the highest ceiling in our entire roster, even more so than Aaron Gordon, and that's Jonathan Isaac. I was blown away in those 27 games that I saw him in. His defensive ability to just, I mean, some of the, he was making steals off of really established veterans in the league and turning them into transitional offensive, transitional offense. And it's, I was just so impressed with what he did. Now, yeah, he had his rookie moments, but Frank Vogel said it once. I got the quote from you that when he was on the court, he was the best defender the team had. And I love his upside. And then when I saw him start getting more aggressive on the offense side in summer league, when, you know, we saw him trying to take guys off the dribble, maybe a little bit too much, but like, just seeing him have that mindset to get that aggression going really just lets me imagine what kind of an amazing two-way player he could be if his offense can continue to develop to where I think it can possibly go. What do you think about Jonathan Isaac? What is your overall impression of him on his first year, his summer? Just go ahead. I'm giving you the floor.
Honestly, I get angry when I see people talk about last year's draft class, and maybe it's because I'm a Magic fan. I watch this team so closely, but you know, I know some other people who, you know, also watch Magic closely, but aren't Magic fans who kind of agree with me on this. Anytime I see a redraft of last year that doesn't have Jonathan Isaac in the, at least in the top 10, I think he should be in the top five. Don't have him that high. I think they're insane, or they just didn't watch it. They just didn't catch the Magic when Jonathan Isaac was there. I think
there was just no media buzz around him.
There's no media buzz around him. You know, honestly, like I talked to fans who were like, you know, writing off Jonathan Isaac, saying he was a bust. And I was like, guys, you don't draft a player for his rookie season. You draft him for 5 years. And yeah, I get it. The point guard situation is what it is. Maybe Dennis Smith would have been a better fit, especially considering what was available to the Magic in the following draft. But Isaac's really, really good. Like, it's rare. It's really rare that when a rookie is on the floor, you know he's on the floor. Like, sure, there were a lot of them this year. Donovan Mitchell obviously took over for a playoff team, was the best player on a playoff team. Jason Tatum had his moments. You know, Ben Simmons was obviously a big deal. But, you know, we're talking all these guys, like Tatum, everyone thinks is a future all-star. Simmons is certainly a future all-star. Mitchell is going to be a future all-star. Those guys are the guys, you know, when you feel the presence of a player on the floor, those guys are future all-stars, are future, like, really key players. And, yes, Isaac isn't the offensive player, so maybe he's not all-star material. But when he is on the floor, the Magic are demonstrably a better defensive team. I can rattle off the stats for you. When Isaac was on the floor, the Magic had a 105.1 defensive rating. That's nearly 2.5 points per possession better than their average. And I think they were like 107 without him, was something like 5 points per possession worse with him off the floor. He had that stat has a lot of noise, but at the same time, it does tell you something. And when you actually watch the games and you watch Isaac on the floor, he was clearly the best defensive player on the floor for the Magic.
Right.
He was making mistakes and still making an impact defensively, recovering really, really well. And this includes Dwight Howard. I don't think I've ever seen a rookie just naturally take to playing defense at the NBA level quite like Jonathan Isaac. And it is a shame that he was hurt. And it was a completely random injury. It wasn't anything wrong. And a lot of fans wanted to write him off too, because it seemed like he got hurt, came back, got hurt again. They wanted to write him off because they thought he was injury prone. And it was just like, look, the injury was random. The Magic are being really, really cautious. Maybe they shouldn't be, but they were being really, really cautious with him. But when he was on the floor, like, he made such a clear impact. And the offense was just off. He didn't have a good rhythm last year. I think he's just a naturally unselfish guy too. And so the aggression level offensively isn't maybe where you want it to be, which was a criticism of him coming into the draft as well, that he kind of faded in the background offensively, even though you saw the talent and ability that he had with the ball in his hands. And it's going to be a lot of work to coax him to do what he did in summer league and play a lot more assertively and aggressively with the ball. But that defense is just, it's real. His defensive impact is real. We saw it in summer league. It was the talk of summer league. This guy, I think, is going to be really, really good. I don't know if he's going to be all-star good. If the offense comes around, he certainly can be. I'm convinced he's going to be an all defensive team player at some point in his career.
Sure. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that's honestly in the next couple of years. That's how impressed I am with him.
It's going to be dependent on him playing defense on a good defensive team and B, right, a playoff team. Like, that's what it comes down to. Sure. Are people going to actually see him play defense?
I think people would be a lot higher on him if they actually got to see him play, but he played a little more than a quarter of the season last year. He played 27 games and therefore on a bad team. So it's, you know, of course he's not going to get the same media buzz that all these other really outstanding rookies, Dennis Smith Jr. and Jason Tatum and those other guys, like, of course they're not going to get the same buzz, but at the same point, yes, those guys are gifted and talented, but it's also situational. Like, would we be talking about Jonathan Isaac if he was the one that got put on the Celtics and had that all of a sudden open wing position available to him? Like, maybe we'd be talking about a completely different player, you know, because he had
certainly stick him on that Celtics team and let him play defense the way that we saw him play defense, assuming he's healthy. He's in that group. He's in that group of rookies that everyone is just gushing over. I'm convinced of that. While he may not have the scoring in the playoffs, everyone would clearly see the kind of impact that he can make.
Do you think he can get his offense to at least above average wing player level?
I think he can. I think that, you know, I think last year a lot of his offensive struggles came just because he was out of rhythm. Just a little bit out of game shape, you know, just didn't have his legs under him. They kind of threw him out there and kept his role very, very simple. And I don't think they wanted him to do much more than that. When he got comfortable, when he got a couple games under his belt, you saw that offense begin to come along and become a little bit more consistent. At Florida State, he was a solid offensive player. This guy, it wasn't like this guy was scoring 2 points one night, 20 points the next night. This was a guy that was getting 10, 12, 14, 15 points pretty easily, pretty simply. He'll get his points in transition. He'll hit a three or two per game. He'll find ways to score. I'm confident that he can get those offensive numbers up because he is also a natural offensive player too. And, you know, with his length and his size, he can get his shot up over anyone. It's just about kind of coaxing it out of him to say, hey, go look for your shot, go get yours. And I think that was a problem for him at Florida State. I think that's going to be a problem for him a little bit early on in his career with the Magic. And Summer League was a great chance for him to kind of take the leash off and say, go run wild. Just go. And you could tell it didn't feel natural to him. You could tell he wanted to pass the ball and wasn't quite as decisive and aggressive as he should have been. But it was so good to see him kind of take that step and try it out.
There was a couple of plays where I saw him legit take guys off the dribble and try a couple step back threes. And
he dirked a few people. It was impressive.
Yeah. And it like, they didn't always work, but the fact that he was doing that was what was awesome for me. Just completely like, okay, maybe we have something here other than just a defensive player. Like he's got work to do, but maybe he can be one of the better two-way wing players in the game at some point in time in the future. Maybe. Maybe I'm just optimizing it too much. I don't know.
Here's the thing about that too. Like you don't want to let expectations run too far ahead. Like I'm not expecting the guy to drop 20 points per game this year. You know, he averaged what, 7 points per game last year. If he can get to 12, 14, 15 points per game this season, that would be a fantastic season. Even if he's shooting in the low 40s, like around 45%, you know, shooting like 30% from three, it's just about making the progression. It's just about, you know, showing this potential, showing that he can reach this potential. Like it's good that we're talking about a guy in hyperbole. Now let's just set expectations and get him on that path to reach the hyperbole because, you know, as it happens, your floor and your ceiling start to come closer as you age. And so Isaac's ceiling is way up here. His floor is still here. Let's get him to that next stage and see where it takes us from there.
If he could, for me, I would be absolutely stoked beyond belief if he could average 12 points a game next
season. Oh, that'd be a great season for him.
That would be phenomenal for me.
With a few 25-point games interspersed in there. Like
sure. I don't know if he can average 15 next year.
That's probably a big step.
Partly just because I don't, you know, I think I'm a little bit more reserved on, I think if healthy, I think we'll see Ross and Simmons in front of him. I just think so.
I don't think that's crazy. Like I'm all on board with Jonathan Isaac. I think Isaac should start opening night. I think it's just he's just too important and too good defensively to leave on the bench. But Steve Clifford is notoriously conservative with young players, both fairly and unfairly sometimes. I think he's gonna be very slow with Isaac. I think he'll be starting by the quarter mark of the season. I think, again, his defense is just too good to leave him on the bench.
Yeah.
His impact is too clear.
I'm a little less bullish on that. I still see maybe not till Christmas time, All-Star. But that really just depends on how the team is playing overall.
That's fair.
If the team isn't doing very well, then yeah, quarter of the season, let's go ahead and start trying him up in some spot up starting games. But if the team is like still kind of holding their own, they're still somewhat in conversation of not just already being at the bottom of the barrel, then I see them still being reserved on him and not rushing him into it too much. And, you know, don't change something that's good, essentially, is kind of where I think that Cliff's mind will be at. And that's why I'm just going to transition right into Mobamba right now. And that's why I am really hesitant on Mobamba. I see a lot. I have mixed feelings about it. I'm really stoked on him. I needed a full day and a half to process this pick, though, to be honest. And that's just because I know how glaring of a hole we have at playmaking ability. But once I processed the draft of Mobamba and started doing some more research on him and what we actually got as a player, I'm now stoked beyond belief. But until Vucevic is gone, there's a lot of fans out there that want to see him start right now. And I'm like, no, he's 7 foot. He can't hang with the Andre Drummonds, the Dwight Howards, the really large centers in the world. And, you know, you put him up against those guys 30 minutes a game. If he's playing more than 25 minutes a game this first, you know, half of the season, I'm going to be concerned for his health. I don't know. So let's just,
I think,
what do you think about Mobamba?
I mean, I am also very much slow playing Mo Bamba. I think he will have a big impact this season. I think he will play a role for this team, but I think the Magic are smart enough to know that we gotta develop him slowly. We can't throw too much at him. Again, the health issue I think is a big concern because yeah, he's gotten bigger. He's worked in the weight room, but he still has to get bigger. He's still not there physically where he needs to be as a center in the NBA.
Big guys get injuries at the start of, you know, in their earlier their career, just lingers.
And those linger, exactly. I mean, foot injury, you know, you get a foot injury as a big guy, that's a lot of weight on a foot that's already hurt. Those things tend to last. You don't want to have kid's gloves on the guy. But, like, I'm a big believer with someone like him who's still very raw, put him in a position to succeed.
Right.
Starting him right off the bat, especially, I mean, you have a veteran like Timofey Mozgov, like, let's be real. You know, Mozgov is what he is, but he still can contribute something. Vucevic is what he is, but he's still a very productive player. So it's not like the Magic are forced to start Bamba immediately. They have options. They have things and places they can go to. They can manage Bamba's minutes and put him in, again, positions to succeed. I think that's the absolute key. You know, I think back to Dwight Howard's rookie year. And Dwight Howard was a much more physical player. He could start immediately and play some major minutes immediately. But they told him right off the bat, we're not running any plays for you. Rebound, defend, get putbacks. That's your role. Go do it. Average a double-double. You know, they slowly started expanding his role toward the end of his rookie year, but they kept his role really, really simple that rookie year. I think it really forced him to work on a lot of things that he needed to do to be successful in the league. And set him on a path for success. I hope that they do the same thing with Bamba. Keep his role really, really simple. Run the floor, work in pick and rolls, you know, defend like we know you can, and go from there. I keep going back to this thing as a clue to what the Magic are going to do with Bamba this year. During summer league, playing in 40-minute games, Mo Bamba averaged fewer than 20 minutes per game. He was playing, I mean, as good as he was, as important as he is, they were still playing him less than half of summer league games. You saw him really hold his own against DeAndre Ayton, but DeAndre Ayton still bullied him around a lot in that game against the Suns. Bamba is going to need some work, and he's going to need some time, and he's going to need some patience. That doesn't mean he's not going to play. He's going to play. He's going to, again, I think 20 to 25 minutes off the bench. There'll be nights where he starts, especially toward the end of the season, I think. But the Magic are going to be very, very careful and cautious with him. Again, I think they're going to keep his role very simplistic. They're going to put him in a position to succeed and make sure that he does succeed and gain confidence and then slowly grow his role, hopefully into next season or hopefully by the end of the season. If he proves himself ready to do more, he'll get more to do. But at least at the very beginning of the season, he's going to be coming off the bench. It's going to be a very, very slow buildup for him until he proves that he's ready to take on more.
So We're starting to run out of time here. So in a nutshell, for the people that don't know and don't watch college basketball, because I am one of those guys, I basically only start learning about the college players right as draft is coming up, if the Magic are relevant in it. In a nutshell, real quick, what is Mo Bamba's game like? What is he going to bring?
He's very big. I don't know if you've heard that. The 7'10" wingspan is real. He averaged nearly 4 blocks per game at Texas. He is a presence in the paint. He's a natural shot blocker. He's a lot more mobile and agile than you would think for a player of his size and length. Usually you see those 7-footers with the long gangly arms, and they're not very athletic. That's not Mo Bamba. Mo Bamba is very, very athletic. He runs very fluidly. He can get end-to-end very quickly. But offensive game is still very rudimentary. Not going to have a lot of dribble moves, not going to have a lot of post moves. A lot of his game worked in pick and rolls and pick and pops, which it's kind of what NBA asks of centers now anyways. Obviously, he's improved a lot on his three-point shot. I kind of thought at Texas he settled a little bit too much on his jumper. He fell in love with his jumper a little bit too much. Some of that maybe he didn't want to get physical because, you know, he is kind of a thin dude. He can't take the pounding as much quite
very
yet.
Thin. Yep.
So, you know, I think that's probably something we're going to see carry over, especially now that he can stretch out to the three-point line. He might become a little too three-point happy. But this is a guy that I think fits exactly what the Magic want to be. Athletic, long, multi-positional, defensive-minded.
that's who the Magic want to be. And I think Bamba is a great centerpiece to have in that kind of idea for the franchise.
And okay, so we have time for about one more question, and you know, obviously all the good plugs at the end. But the last question that I want to ask is real quick. Is it possible for Bamba, AG, and Isaac to all play together? Does one of those guys, I mean, we are in a very switching position in this type basketball, but can AG or Isaac play enough offense to really fill a three role? Too much length? Is that even a thing? Go ahead.
Defensively, they absolutely can. I think that they'll be a really tough team to crack defensively when all three are in the game. And I'm excited to look at those on-off numbers when they start pouring in once the season begins. Offensively, they've got to develop at least Gordon or Isaac have to develop a consistent three-point shot. And certainly the guards have to be good three-point shooters just to spread the floor. I think that I'm someone that believes the Aaron Gordon at small forward position wasn't quite the disaster everyone painted out to be. I think kind of like Victor Oladipo at point guard, it gave him a lot of valuable skills that helped him grow as a player, even if it didn't work so much on the court. I think that Gordon now is a much better shooter than he was when he played small forward offensively. And so while I think speed-wise, he's still better playing the four, there really isn't much of a three. They're really the same position. It's really more about who's guarding. Can Gordon and Isaac develop as shooters fast enough to give each other the space to operate? Can they develop as ball handlers and attackers and drivers to take advantage of whoever the weaker defender is and whoever's guarding them? And then, you know, can the Magic provide them the support they need to give them that space that they have to grow? It's going to be a little bit of a process for sure. But it's going to come down to whether the Magic have enough shooting to spread the floor out enough to give them the space to operate. And if that happens, and that includes Gordon and Isaac becoming better shooters and even Bamba becoming a better shooter, if that happens, it certainly can work. And it's a lot of ifs, obviously.
Sure.
But we've seen Gordon get better as a three-point shooter. I think Isaac will show some improvement as a three-point shooter. You know, we'll see what happens with that point guard position. But certainly I think that there is the foundation for something.
Yeah, I kind of in agreement with you with how they can fit together offensively. It's very positionless. I think defensively, Gordon's a bigger dude. He can handle guarding the bigger power forwards in the league, where Isaac can guard the wings a little bit quicker. But then offensively, they can swap if needed to. If Gordon develops into the stronger shooter, they can just kind of handle transition, but also just take up matchup dependent. I think there is a universe where that could work, and it could work very well. But you know, we're not really talking about the veterans too much. But if it doesn't, AG's on a great contract that we can, you know, we can turn into a great asset in another way. So, well, Philip, any last thoughts before I thank you and plug you and let you do your closing spiel?
I don't have much else to say. I think we covered Wes Iwundu and Melvin Frazier about as well as any place on the internet. So yeah. I'm very proud of that because I like covering those guys as much as the big guys.
I think it was needed for sure. I wanted to get this in for a while. I've had this idea of covering the young guys for the last couple of weeks, and I was like, Who else would get excited about Wes Iwundu and Melvin Frazier? I know Philip will. I'm going to reach out to him. Well, Philip, I just want to really thank you for jumping and taking some time and joining the show today. Can you just tell everyone where to, if they don't already know who you are, which they should at this point, if they're listening to my show, let everyone know where they can find you and also about the Orlando Magic Daily website.
Yeah, Orlando Magic Daily. I'll start with Orlando Magic Daily. OrlandoMagicDaily.com is your source for Orlando Magic news and analysis. We cover the Magic daily, obviously, kind of longer form articles, really breaking down the team. So if you're really into the Orlando Magic, and even if you're not really into the Orlando Magic and just want to learn more about the team, I think that's the place to go. So definitely check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. You can follow the website on Twitter at @OMagicDaily. You can follow me on Twitter at @PhilipR_OMD. And of course, if you prefer podcast form of this kind of hard hitting analysis, You can check me out on Locked On Magic. I'm the host of Locked On Magic as well. So find Locked On Magic on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and all the fun places to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device.
Yes, perfect. I love it. Hearing you say that last little bit about the podcast just put a smile on my face, because I hear it 5 days a week. I am a Locked On Magic podcast listener daily, and I hear the podcast locations in that order, and just hearing that live it made me smile. It's fun.
I really enjoyed turning that phrase when I started doing that. It was just like, I don't know where else this is going to be. This is where it gets posted now, but it's everywhere. You can find it. Just find it.
Just search it. You'll find it. Well, Philip, thanks again for coming on. I hope we can get you on later on in the season to discuss more, hopefully, positive things about the Magic and not a negative trajectory season. And thanks again. I hope you have a great night. We'll talk to you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
My thanks once again to Stephen Cameron for having me on his show, Close Up Magic. That show will actually air Friday on Nothing But Net Radio. His show is every Friday on Nothing But Net Radio at 2 a.m. It's kind of a weird time. Stephen's actually on the West Coast, but you can also listen to his podcast by searching on iTunes at Close Up Magic. You can follow him on Twitter as well at The Close Up Magic. Definitely give his podcast a check. He talks to writers like me, like Keith Smith of Real GM, who's been on this show plenty of times as well. But he also talks to a lot of fans. He gets a lot of different perspectives on the Magic. Definitely a podcast worth your download and listen as well. You can, of course, find me, and I'm going to say it again. You can find me on Twitter at Locked On Magic. Also, like us on Facebook at Locked On Magic. You can follow me on Twitter at PhilipR_OMD. And, of course, for the latest on the Orlando Magic, including our continuing look at player outlooks, we'll be getting into the Sports Illustrated Top 100 as well on Thursday. Check out OrlandoMagicDaily.com. Lots to get to as the season gets closer and closer, and we hope you'll be tuned in here to Locked On Magic for all of it. You can, of course, subscribe to the podcast, once again, on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, and all the fun places to download podcasts to your podcast-enabled listening device. That's going to do it for me today. I want to thank you all again for listening to today's episode. For Orlando Magic Daily and Locked On Magic, this has been Philip Rossenreich. Until next time, I'll see you all again for another episode of Locked On Magic.
You are Locked On Magic, your daily Orlando Magic podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.